Well, there's a typo in your bulletin, and it was caused by me. This is what happens when I send an email while I'm sitting outside by the beach. And so it's not Galatians 5, 8 through 14. You probably saw that this week. And if you read the article in the newsletter and you thought, well, that doesn't make it. I don't know how he's getting that out of that text. This should be interesting. It's Ephesians. So if you'll turn in your Bibles or look at your notes, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of God for the people of God. You know, I promise I'm not going to go on and on about the beach this morning, but I am going to share a few thoughts. And there's some things that amaze me every time I go to the ocean. And of course, the waves, and you know, with all the storms that they had down there, the waves were bigger than normal. And I would go out too far, and Missy and everyone else would tell me and my brother-in-law to come back closer to shore. But the waves are amazing. The sound, just how loud the waves are, is always rather amazing. And just to be able to look out and see nothing but water, that's a rather amazing thing. But there's some things that amaze me because I don't understand them. And there's one thing in particular. I would walk to my balcony each night, and I would look out at probably about 9 o'clock, and even all the way up till midnight, and I would see all these flashlights with people walking up and down the beach. And what were they looking for? Little sand crabs. And I thought to myself, you know, of all the things I'd like to do on my summer vacation, taking a flashlight and hunting around for little sand crabs that don't want to be found is not high on my list. But some people really like it. I mean, there were hundreds of flashlights as far as I could see in every direction. And I could imagine what it must be like for that little crab who's just trying to hide, and there's this big light shining from the sky and shining on him, and he takes off running. And then I thought, you know, isn't that a good illustration for what I was like before I knew Christ? Before his light shined on me, I was a lot like that little crab. I like to hide in the darkness. I like to bury my head in the sand. I like to be hidden, so blended in with the world that no one even knew I was there. And then what are we told? You were once in darkness, but now you're in the light. But now you are a light of the Lord. And so as I thought about that little crab, and I thought about that light shining, I thought, you know, that's what Jesus has done for me. And a lot like that crab, I didn't always come willingly. I kind of had to be dragged to the Lord. While I might have known Jesus at a very young age and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, at the summer after my second grade year of school, I still remember times in my life where I've kind of moved back into the darkness, where maybe I've struggled and tried to run away from the light. And this passage, I guess that's why it resonates with me so deeply. And then I thought to myself, you know, I've also been like the people with the flashlight, chasing after the crabs. Except, you know, there's a good way to do that and a bad way to do that. And some people, I've been with both kinds of people. And some people like to, it's borderline torturing those little crabs who are trying to run for their life. And they pick them up and they toss them around and do all kinds of stuff with them. And I think sometimes that's how we can be with the light of Christ, right? We can beat people over the head with it. And we can come at people so hard, so intense, that really all they want to do is get away from us. Anybody ever done that to anybody? I sure have. I mean, if there was a Bible thumper when I was in high school, I was that guy. I knew how to tear people apart with the Word of God. And I was like that flashlight, and the people were like the little crabs, and they just wanted to, they wanted Kenny Butcher to leave them alone. And so I think to myself, you know, how do we balance being the light, shining in the darkness, but doing so in a way that actually brings people to Christ? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring people into a loving relationship with Christ. And I realize, ultimately, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I cannot make anyone come to Christ because Kenny Butcher wants them to come to Christ. That's not how this works. The Holy Spirit is the one who is drawing people. But guess what? The Holy Spirit can use me and He can use you to shine that light, to be that light. And I think that's what this verse is pointing us to. So we're going to highlight a few things as we dig into it. The first thing that we see is that when Christ shines on you, your perception of the world changes. When Christ shines on you, your perception of the world changes. I don't know about anybody else, but it's like the more I get to know Jesus Christ, the brighter His light gets in me, and the more stark realities I see between the ways of darkness and the ways of light. The greater I see the impact that sin has on people. The more powerful ways in which I see how desperately people are searching for the truth, for the way, and for life. And how sad it makes me that so many people are searching in all the wrong places to find it. But before I judge them, I have to realize that first part of that verse. For you were once in darkness. I know what it's like to be in darkness. I know what it's like to be stuck in sin that I can't break free from. I know what it's like to be jealous of what others have. I know what it's like to long for, whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's notoriety. I know what it's like to want things. I know what it's like to have a dream that I'm unwilling to lay down because God's called me in a different direction. I know what it's like to be in darkness. I know what it's like. And so instead of that being a reason for me to judge others who are in darkness, I should be able to relate to them a little bit. Right? We should be able to help them to see that, look, we're not all that different, but for the grace of Jesus Christ. The way we shine our light kind of changes when we understand that we were once in darkness. But I love that phrase, but now you are light in the Lord. Now here's the flip side of that. Not only do we can empathize with people who are in darkness because we've been in darkness, but now we're called to be in light. And I don't know about you, but I know far too many Christians who dabble in the darkness still. I know far too many Christians who, while they don't just empathize with the darkness, they want to dabble in the darkness. They want to spend their time in the darkness. They want to go past the line, past the boundaries from which Christ has set for them. For lots of different reasons we do it. Sometimes we do it to blend in with culture. Sometimes we do it to blend in with our friends. Sometimes we do it because maybe we don't agree with what the Bible says. I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad that the Bible, God's not really concerned with whether I agree with it or not. He wants me to obey it. See, there's a difference there, right? There are parts of the Bible that smack me right upside the head that my life would be so much easier if the Bible didn't say what it says. My life would be so much easier. Right? I struggle with eating too much. The Bible says something about that. It'd be so much easier for me if it didn't. Look, our world right now celebrates every kind of sin, every kind of sexual sin that there is, from homosexuality to really nothing wrong with divorce anymore in the world's eyes. If it feels good, do it. If you want to have multiple partners, sex outside of marriage, live with people outside of marriage, you name it, the list goes on and on and on. And wouldn't it be much easier on us if the Bible didn't say anything about those things? But the problem is it does. So how do we shine the light of Christ without seeking to beat people down, without seeking to tear them down? Because those are two very different, stark realities. Notice what the verse goes on to say after that. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The righteousness it's talking about is that of Christ. The truth it's talking about is the truth of Christ. The goodness it's talking about is the goodness of Christ. It's Christ in you. You being the hope that people need. You see, when you live your life in the light, that means you aim to live your life before Christ, knowing that Christ alone leads the way. Is that how you would describe your life? Does Christ lead your way? Does Christ determine for you what is right and what is wrong, what you should do and what you shouldn't do? Not just morality, but also about where you're going to live and where you're going to work. How much do you let Christ lead you? Christ shows us so much. One of the things Christ shows us is the sinfulness of sin. We live in a time where we kind of are dismissive of sin. Where we say, hey, everybody does it. Everybody sins. I can't help it. It's in my nature. And we don't see the sinfulness of sin. We don't see how destructive it is. We don't see how when we're unforgiving or when we're jealous or when we're greedy or when we're engaged in sexual sin, the impact it has not only on those around us, but the impact it has on us, the way it tears our hearts apart, the way in which our soul becomes double-minded, and instead of being one and united with Christ, we're pulled in all these different directions, all because we want to dabble in sin. One of the things that Christ shows us when we come into the light is the sinfulness of sin and how harmful it is and how much it hurts everyone who's involved. Christ also shows you your own insufficiency. I love this, by the way. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. How did that happen? Jesus Christ. That's how. I didn't suddenly say, hey, I'm going to be a light now. I'm tired of being in dark. Now I'm going to be a light. I'm going to be the one who shines the light and shares with everybody. Jesus Christ changed my heart, changed me forever, so that I can't go back to dabbling in the ways of the world. I can't go back to celebrating sin the way that the world does. I can't go back to ignoring when I see a need, when I see poverty, when I see people hurting. I can't just pretend like it's not happening. And then I'm left with my own insufficiency, that I can't meet their needs. I can't even fix myself. And Jesus says, that's okay, Kenny. I'm here to fix you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to show you the way. And Christ shows you the singular path of salvation. One of the troubles we get into Christianity is we're great at beginning in Christ. We're great at it. We know that it is through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we are born anew, that we have been justified and we've been sanctified and all those great terms, and we love it. Here's our struggle. We don't stay with it. And what do I mean by that? We don't stay with Him. Christ is the solution, yes, to your salvation when it comes to being made right before God. But Christ is the solution to every sin, every problem, every trouble in your life today. Christ is always the answer. Not just when it comes to your salvation and whether you're going to be in heaven or whether you're going to be in hell. Christ is the answer in everything. Faith, faith, faith. It always comes back to faith. You want to be in the light. It comes back to faith. You know, while I was at the beach, there was this kid who was swimming in the water. And the red flags were up because there was a dangerous rip current. And his father had rowed a wave in. And this little boy, he couldn't have been any bigger than Julianne, started to get dragged out deeper and deeper to where he couldn't touch. And there was nobody near him. And I was the closest one, so I swam out there and I got him. And he was crying and he was screaming for his dad. And I brought him in and I gave him to his dad. And I thought to myself, you know, that what that rip current does to him, that's what the world will do to us if we don't pay attention. If we don't realize that there is a systematic world system that seeks to tear you away from Christ, that seeks to pull you in the opposite direction that Christ would have you go. And Christ is the answer every time. He is the one who heals you. If you have an addiction, Christ is the one who can help you overcome it. If you're struggling with sin, Christ is the one. Look, he knows your temptations. He knows your struggles. You're not keeping a secret from him. You're not like one of those little crabs that can go hide in the sand and pretend like Jesus doesn't know. He always knows. But here's what he does. He says, why don't you come back to the light with me? Why don't you come over here and let me remake that broken heart of yours? The second thing we see is this, that when Christ shines on you, the appeal of the darkness lessens, but it does not disappear. The appeal of the darkness lessens, but does not disappear. Listen to verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Why would he say this? After all, didn't he just say you were once in darkness, now you're in light? Why would he say, now stay out of the darkness? Unless that was still a temptation. Paul knew. Paul knew how his flesh longed to be in the darkness. How there was a part of him that no matter his... that fleshly nature of his, no matter how much he wanted to serve Christ, no matter how much he wanted to walk with him, there was always this pull, there was always this attraction. And he said, that's why the things I want to do, I end up not doing, and things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He knew. He knew about the struggles. He knew how hard it is. I know this about myself. When I take that for granted, I find myself drifting further and further away from Christ very quickly. When I ignore the pull of the darkness, when I ignore that I have a fleshly nature, when I pretend like I am this holy person who's been so set apart that those temptations are above me, or below me rather, that's what I meant to say, those temptations are below me, what are we told about pride? It comes before a fall. And that's when I'm in a bigger mess than I ever realized I was in. Because I didn't take serious the pull of the darkness. I didn't take serious the work that still needs to be done in this heart of mine, that no matter how many years I've been in Christ, the closer I grow to Him, the more I see the trouble I have. And the more work that needs to be done. And so I keep going to Him. And I keep trusting Him. You see, left to its own devices, your fleshly nature, which is opposed to Christ, would drag you back into the darkness. And that is why it is so important for every Christian to be renewed daily. My friends, if you are not being renewed daily with your time in the Lord, whatever that looks like for you, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are not doing that on a daily basis, you're going to feel those rip currents back to the ways of the world. And the world will set you up with all kinds of standards that are opposed to the will of God, not caring a bit what Jesus has to think about it or what you as a Christian have to think about it. That pull is strong. That leads us to our last thought. When Christ shines on you, your awakened spirit craves the light. When you've been born again, there's a part of you that cannot get enough of Jesus. Here's the problem. After a while, if we don't take that part of us serious enough, if we don't listen to the Spirit who's been renewed in us, if we don't pay attention to the call of the Holy Spirit to walk in the light, to be in the light, to stay in the light, then we run the risk of drowning out that Spirit, quieting yourself, and listening to all kinds of other voices. There's a war going on inside you. You're always being influenced, either by the Holy Spirit leading you into the light or by the enemy who wants to lead you into the darkness. Whatever that darkness looks like for you, we all have our own temptations. But when Christ shines on you, your spirit craves being in that light. It's why when you have one of those moments where God has spoken to you, whether it's at church camp or whether it's on a mission trip or whether it's in a church service, you can't wait to get back to that place. My favorite book of the Bible. Why say that too often? I like one of the old, one of the new. I like them all. Romans in the New Testament and the Old Testament. I absolutely love Ecclesiastes. It speaks to my heart. Anytime my faith is struggling, I go there. Why? Because every time I open up the book of Ecclesiastes and read through it, God speaks to me. Every single time. I don't know what it is about that particular book of the Bible. Maybe you've got your own. Maybe you've got that place that you go to in the Word of God where every time you go, every time you open it up, it's like God just begins to pour out truth. He begins to pour out light, and you just embrace it and you can't get enough of it. Ecclesiastes, it is for me. Romans, it is for me. Not to say that I don't love the rest of the Bible, because I love every bit of it. But I crave. I keep going back to those same two because I crave that connection with Christ, right? Do you have that in your life? Of what you go back to? Of that place you return when maybe your cup feels empty? Verse 13 says, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light." This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." What is it talking about? The deadness of sin. The deadness of being in the dark. The deadness of being away from Christ and not knowing God, your Father. In a world that is becoming increasingly sinful and uninterested in Jesus Christ, it is all the more important for us to stay close to Him. How do we do that? Yes, you read your Bibles. Yes, you pray. Yes, you surround yourself with Christians. But in a short, simple sentence, make your time in the light a priority. Make your time in the light a priority. Far too many Christians spend way more time dabbling in the world than they do spending time in the light. And then they wonder why their faith is stuck in neutral or going backwards. Make your time in the light a priority. Secondly, evaluate your filter for what is right. You might have in your mind what you think is right, what you think is wrong, what you think God might want you to do, what you think God might not want you to do when it comes to every single facet of your life. It's incumbent upon us that we make sure that we're making those decisions not based upon our own personal feelings and our own ambitions and our own hopes and our own dreams, and we lay all those down and we say, God, what do you say? Lord, what do you want? What is your desire for me? What do you have to say about that? We live in a time where we try and make our faith, the world tries to take faith and set it off to the side. I heard a politician years ago, he said, yes, I'm a believer, but that doesn't impact my decisions. And I thought to myself, well, then you're not any kind of believer I know. Because how can you not? How can your faith not impact everything you do? Evaluate your filter. The Holy Spirit can help you to do that. Address the darkness that you have embraced. This isn't about us running out from here and saying, oh, look, there's a sinner. This is about us looking in the mirror and saying, oh, look, there's a sinner. There's somebody who's struggling in the darkness. There's somebody who has dabbled in the darkness for far too long and needs to step into the light. That's the invitation this morning. And then challenge the darkness with Christ. That is how we challenge the darkness. We don't challenge the darkness with a bunch of rules that we lay down and parameters that we put around people. We challenge the darkness with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And when you think about how he's changed your life and how you came to him, I bet for most of us, we didn't come to Jesus, but because somebody told us that we were a terrible, wicked person and we had no place with him. No, we came to Jesus because somebody said, hey, I know you're struggling, and I know that you're a sinner, but let me tell you about Jesus and how he loves you. Let me tell you about Jesus and how he wants to change you. Let me tell you about Jesus and how he wants to remake you into his image. You see, Jesus loves you just the way that you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like him. That's the invitation. That's what we have. That's what we have to offer. I've had the privilege of seeing people freed from sin over the years. I've had the privilege of seeing people renewed, overcoming addictions, overcoming fears, overcoming doubts. I've joyfully seen it all. And they all had this in common. They learned how to apply the work that was done on Calvary to their life with the help of the Holy Spirit. And they were able to be free. They were able to say to those burdens, no more, because they've already been defeated in Jesus Christ. That's living in the light. That's the invitation. Paul says, wake up. Wake up. You don't have to stay stuck in your sin. You don't have to dabble in the ways of the darkness. Live in the light and tell people the opportunity they have to do the same. We're not to dabble in the darkness. We're not to celebrate the darkness like the world does. It's okay to expose the darkness for what it is and to speak to the negative impact that the darkness has in each and every person and in our world. But always with this invitation. But I can tell you, you need to meet my friend Jesus, who makes it all better. He'll be the one to bring you into the light. He'll be the one to keep you there. That's the invitation this morning. Let us pray. Lord, darkness and light. We know what it means to experience both. We know what it means to, in one moment, be worshiping you in spirit and truth, and in another moment, be ruled by our flesh in such a way that things come out of our mouth that we would never imagine saying in front of you. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning to make it a priority to be in the light, to make it a priority to be in the light in such a way that your righteousness and your goodness and your faithfulness and your truth flow in us and flow through us through the Holy Spirit. And that you would give us the courage and conviction to expose the darkness, but to do so in a way that leads people to you. That is our hope and that is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael leads us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you. If God has laid anything upon your heart this morning, maybe there's an area in your life where you know that you've been struggling with darkness. And it is time. It's time for you to answer this call from Christ to be in the light. Why don't you come down to the altar this morning and take that first step? Or maybe for you it's, look, you've got people in your life and you wonder, how do I shine the light of Christ into their life in a way that they can receive and in a way that will introduce them to Jesus? The Holy Spirit will show you how to do that. Come down to this altar and pray. Invite Him to lead you. Invite Him to guide you. Respond as you feel led to.